It's Leslie Gorenstein, host of the Femme Fatale here, with a new episode filled with all your favorite dish, served fresh from the dirt farm that is Hollywood. Welcome to it. As I tape this with tonight's co-host, comedian Guy Branum, hello.
Hello.
Say hello. Hello. The Golden Globes are going on. Now, that fact may surprise you. Why am I not watching one of the biggest award shows of the year? Why am I taping my podcast instead? Other than the fact that Guy Branum was not available tomorrow. Yes. There's good reason. And it speaks to the filthy heart of what the Golden Globes really are. I'll get to that later. Meanwhile, how are you, Guy Branum?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
What have you been up? What have you been up to?
Well, I was writing on a show that got canceled called Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell.
You were no more Mr. Nice Gay.
I was in New York, and now I am back to be in sunshine and not snow.
Very good. Congratulations.
It's very exciting.
There's also an ugly secret behind why I chose Guy to co-host this week. Again, I will reveal all later in the show. Also, we have a new segment this week. It's Downton Abbey season, which means, you've probably guessed it, yes, the new segment is called Answer Dad Reviews Downton Abbey, in which my 71-year-old father gets all head up about what the hell is wrong with these rich people anyway, and we'll get to that segment later. Before we get to all that, we have our VIP interview. Now, you have your law degree, do you not?
I do.
So you may even want to weigh in before we even get to the VIP interview. You may want to weigh in during the introduction of said VIP interview, which is happening now. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, as I once was before the show got all hung up on who was going to be the leader, I'm not a good leader. I need to put my gun down. You could be the leader. No, I'm the... Who the fuck cares? There are zombies! Anyway, you may have heard about a wee tiff going on regarding that show. Get this. Frank Darabont, the big-time Hollywood director, the guy who created the zombie series, claims he has received not one dime in profit from that series. And it's the biggest drama on cable. In a lawsuit that Darabont has brought against AMC, he accuses the network of playing some tricksy financial trickies in a way that prevented AMC from having to pay Darabont any zombie bucks. So, friend of the show, RJ Beavers, has asked me, and I quote, quote, can you explain what this is all about? Yes. I corralled a power attorney. Not just an attorney. Those are for, like, ordinary podcasts. Only a power, only power attorneys on this podcast. Even the co-hosts have to have their law degree. Anyway, the guy you're about to hear, his name is Dan Grigsby. And if you've ever wondered just how rich people stay rich, especially in Hollywood, you're going to want to listen to this. Is there something you wanted to say about the law and entertainment before we got started?
Oh, there are only, like, four law firms in Hollywood. And so they all just cover each other's backs. And they all know when they leave those firms, they're going to go be lawyers for the networks or for the production companies. And there is no law here. The only law...
It's like the Wild West still?
It's like the Wild West, but instead of guns, you have Golden Globes and appearances on Us Magazine.
My Golden Globes can be up your Golden Globes. Here it is, Dan Grigsby. Take a listen. Top entertainment attorney Dan Grigsby, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
When I first called you a couple days ago and said I wanted to interview you on this topic about how the creator of the biggest show on cable television could somehow not be bringing home a penny in profit, I heard you laughing. I actually heard you chuckling. And obviously this is something that is not new to you, but it's very new to my audience. So why were you chuckling?
Well, this is not obviously the first time these types of claims have been made. This is a case where the producer is claiming that the production arm of AMC sold the broadcast rights for the series to its distribution arm for an artificially low licensing fee.
Because the profits were coming, the profits that were promised to Darabont stemmed from that licensing fee.
Correct.
Wouldn't they be shooting themselves in the foot if they were artificially selling at an artificially low price like this?
Well, it depends on who they are. If they're affiliated or associated with the distribution arm or the parent company, perhaps not. If, in other words, if you have an executive who is assigned as a producer or creator or is entitled to talent or a participation who works for the mothership, They may be getting this in some other manner.
Sure.
They may be getting their share of this in another manner. I don't know that those are the facts here. I haven't looked specifically.
But Frank Darabont, being an outsider, being not a part of the machine, was, as he alleges anyway, left out in the cold and not given anything. So basically what he said was, hey, my profits were supposed to come from, in part, this licensing fee, except that you guys made sure that the licensing fee was a dollar or something, and now I don't get any of it.
Right. And the other way that others who may have profit participation interests, they could still care, but they may care a little less, is if they are also have roles in the production and distribution itself where they're receiving salaries and other benefits. Here, Darabont is also claiming he was wrongfully terminated from his employment with the company under which he would have been receiving a salary and benefits. In addition to now being denied his profits.
So essentially between the lines, what he's alleging is you guys did everything you could to avoid paying me any money. Give me my money.
Yes. And he's also sued them for wrongful termination, claiming that he was attached.
Because that would have been another way he would have gotten money.
Yes, exactly.
So AMC can do whatever it wants, right? It can sell, its left hand can sell it to the right hand, whatever it wants, right? So what kind of recourse does Darabont have?
Well, it can't really do whatever it wants. There are contractual provisions requiring, well, first of all, there are implied covenants in every contract of good faith and fair dealing. So you have the overarching, every contract has that implied covenant in it. And then in this particular contract, again, I haven't read the entire contract, but you'll generally have that provisions that they can sell to a distributor, either an arm's length third-party distributor, or that the terms of any deal they make will be the same or as favorable as those made with
a third party,
unaffiliated third parties, right? And most favored nations clauses and things like that. So no, they don't have the right to just willy-nilly do what they want. His contract, I'm certain, has provisions that they were required to do this, in a good faith, fair dealing, third party arm's length transaction type basis.
So now AMC is going to have to say, wait, hey, judge, no. If our production arm had sold this to HBO, we would have charged a dollar too.
Right. And what he's pointed out, a major hurdle they're going to have in that is that AMC did not produce Mad Men, but it distributes Mad Men. And the per episode licensing fee it pays to the producers of Mad Men is, I'm told, is $3 million. And yet, Walking Dead's viewership is significantly larger than Mad Men's viewership. So they're going to certainly have to explain to a judge and or jury why you paid you $1.45 million per episode, but you paid the producers of Mad Men $3 million per episode.
Is there any argument you can possibly think of that they could get away with?
Sure. There's, again, the reasons licensing fees differ can be numerous. One, and again, I'm making these up. I don't know what their responses would be. As far as I know, they haven't responded yet. One would be there was more identifiable, recognizable talent in Mad Men, for example, going in. Two could be the demographic or the, who we're trying to target with the particular program, what the distributors that are looking for, what advertisers will pay for, even if it's not necessarily based on per capita viewership. The sports analogy would be, why is golf so popular on television when it doesn't have a huge viewership? And the answer is it has a very targeted affluent demographic that will buy, higher end goods. So there's certainly reasons why licensing fees can differ, but they're certainly going to have to explain on this one. Two very popular, television programs on their network, why $1.45 million per episode versus $3 million per episode.
If I were AMC, I'd be wanting to pay him off and make him go away. What are the chances that this is all just going to go away before it goes to court, in your professional opinion?
Well, most of these do. I mean, this is not new, as I said. In 1995, the what we call in the legal profession, the vertical integration lawsuits were relaxed so that production studios and production entities could own distribution outlets.
Yeah.
And so since that time, there have been many of these. There was a suit by against Disney by the producers of Home Improvement. There was a suit by the NYPD executive producer sued. X-Files, there was a suit. Will and Grace, Smallville. I mean, this is not new. And you're right. The answer is nearly all of these, any of them, wind up settling.
Yeah. Dan Grigsby, thank you so much for explaining all this in such a clear, concise, and fun manner.
You're welcome.
And we're back. Now it's time to let Guy shine.
And do my best.
Shine. Guy is here, of course.
Are you saying I should put on powder? Like, are you saying that I'm a little bit sweaty and shiny? It's possible, Leslie.
I'm not saying that at all. I promise. You have quite a dull finish today, and it's lovely. Now, Guy is here, of course, because he's an excellent co-host and also sits still quite elegantly. But he's also here because of something that happened this week. This week, I wrote a column for Yahoo about Duck Dynasty. The topic of the column was why advertisers are still paying top dollar for space on that show, despite the fact that Phil Robertson is a bigot who thinks that gay people belong in the same category as terrorists and people who have sex with animals. That's it. I just wanted to know why advertisers still want to do business with a show that features a guy who thinks that gay people are on the same plane as terrorists. Got it? In my article, I discovered, through ad agencies, celebrity branding experts, I interviewed them all, interviewed industry analysts, interviewed the ad agencies. They all told me basically this. Duck Dynasty delivers so many eyeballs in such a desirable demographic that A&E and advertisers have weighed the pros versus the possible cons and seen too many pros to care. So in other words, yeah, there's a bigot over here, but there is filthy lucre, dollar bills, lots of day casha over here. And that is more interesting than the risk from the bigot. I mean, what's one little bigot when there's like millions and millions of dollars to make? Let the advertising hoedown continue. Write up another of them their $180,000 advertising checks. Well, the rednecks blew up. Blew up at me. Every hayseed south of the Mason-Dixon line learned how to type just so they could come at me. Blew up. And instead of defending myself,
Did they have to get electric current wired to their shed?
They had to unplug the moonshine stills just to get enough energy to plug in so that along with that and the computers that are powered by a squirrel, they could get enough.
Cuisinart makes a really great electric moonshine still.
You know what? The hayseeds are going to come after you so hard. And I'll be there for you. I will. Anyway, I figured I would feed Guy Branum dinner and then have him do the defending for me. Now, see, I have a long tradition of this. When I was in elementary school, this is a true fact, there was this bully named Antony. And you have to understand, I was on the East Coast, so it wasn't Anthony. He was Antony. And Antony would threaten me every day. On the way home from school, he would threaten to beat me up. So I got my friend Shelley Klein to walk with me, and I didn't feel afraid anymore. So now, Guy is here to be my Shelley Klein. No more Mr. Nice Gay is here. Guy, okay, I'm going to read you.
Okay.
Some of the more than 7,700 comments.
You're really buzzy. You need to be excited about just the amount of buzz you've got going off of this.
If I'm not a threat, do you think Chelsea Lately thinks of me as a threat yet?
I think so.
Okay, good. Because I'll dye my hair blonde. Just if it means freaking her out, I will go blonde. Okay. I got 7,700 comments that I got after writing an article critical of Duck Dynasty. And then you're going to go ahead and respond better than I ever could. You ready?
Okay.
Okay, how's the first one look? You think I should read that one?
Yes.
Okay. This author is a piece of shit. This isn't about just money. It's about normal people being fed up with political correctness and where it is leading this country. Political correctness isn't like a religion. It is a religion that needs to be obliterated. Homosexuality is unnatural and unsustainable, Nuff said.
Okay. His last point about homosexuality being unnatural and unsustainable, he makes a good point. We're not working with nature. We do a lot of hair coloration. We do some injectables. And it is fundamentally unsustainable. I mean, you know, eventually you run out of cocaine and then where are you left? But the point about like political correctness, like believing that human beings are human beings isn't political correctness. Like, I don't understand how or why we're supposed to accept someone saying that I'm an evil criminal just because I like to kiss boys. Like,
but that's my opinion and I'm entitled to it.
Right. Like, his opinion is that I shouldn't be allowed to exist. And my opinion is that he should shut up. Like, what's...
But that we need to respect everyone.
Right. But not everybody gets to have a TV show. Like, TV shows are just a big machine for selling us Doritos. And if you are Doritos, you need to align yourself with people with, you know, shows that are not going to be alienating people, because everybody loves Doritos, even gay people, because we get stoned sometimes.
Which one should I read next? Should I read the next one? Or do you want, what do you think? Look, the one that accuses me of being a gay rights activist, or the one that accuses me of being one of the Hollywood elite?
Oh, let's talk
about
it.
Or the one that accuses me of being decadent.
I want to hear Hollywood elite and decadent.
Okay. Hollywood elite. Ms. Gornstein is obviously one of the Hollywood elite that live in a little bubble with no clue of what the majority, all caps, of the nation thinks. Her and her kind sit around in little chat groups, running down the rest of the country and calling us backwards. The country would be better off if the East and West Coast edges fell off into their respective oceans.
All right, let's break this down.
Okay.
If the Eastern Coast, East and West Coast edges of the United States fell into the ocean, what would the people in the middle do with their lives? What would they like
watch on television?
What would they watch on television? They would have a bunch of corn and wheat and rusting automobile factories that like don't even make anything anymore.
God.
That said,
but they'd have Jesus and Duck Calls.
This is my core problem with Duck Dynasty. My core problem with Duck Dynasty is, oh, they're good old boys. They are, you know, speaking up for the common man. You're part of the Hollywood elite. They make $250 duck calls. I grew up going duck hunting with my dad in Northern California. You can believe that there are only homosexuals in the Hollywood elite. That's because we flee the boring middle parts of the country and go elsewhere where you can have like a meaningful brunch. Also, Leslie, I wanted to say your little chat groups are pretty amazing though. We're so elite. I know, but you lay out a good spread.
Thank you.
The thing is a duck call costs $10. Like, a duck call is a thing that just goes... Like, it's not that... It's essentially just a kazoo, and they're selling them for $90 to $250. If you're spending $250 to blow something, and it's not a man's penis... That's against God's plan.
All right, let's go. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait, you want the one about the hillbillies or about the gay rights activist? The one accusing me of being a gay rights activist?
Gay rights activist.
Look, Leslie, you gay rights activist, we don't watch your ugly shows on A&E. If I had a show on A&E, would I even be here right now? Or any other channel. We watch
You should get a pawn shop and see what
happens. We watch Duck Dynasty because it's clean, it's funny, and it reflects none of the trash you're pushing. Instead of criticizing Duck Dynasty, go watch the low-rated garbage you want to watch and leave us alone.
Does this lady not understand that people are only watching Duck Dynasty to laugh at what ridiculous trash they are? The only ratings that matter are coming from the wealthy tastemakers on the coast, and the people of Los Angeles and Manhattan are watching Duck Dynasty to say, oh, aren't those people ridiculous? We're much better than they are. And then they drive away in their Teslas.
Yes.
I, like, you know, it is TV for the cruel overlords of the city, and I am perfectly fine with that. I grew up in the country. The country is a horrible place. I now enjoy being part of the decadent cronut-eating elites.
Here's one. Leslie should come under fire for an article full of disparaging comments about countrified folk. She's about to learn just how much of a majority is on Phil's side. Am I being threatened? My man put up an extra security camera this week. Is that going to be enough?
I was really impressed by the fact that this person put together a sentence and used appropriate grammar, mm-hmm. which means she's clearly a hired gun who was purchased by the Koch brothers to frighten you out of talking shit about Duck Dynasty. So I would say you should probably move somewhere else. A country that doesn't have or need oil.
Borneo?
I think so. I don't know.
All right. Should I do one more?
Yes.
Well, Leslie, you have expressed your opinion. You have every right to do so. And so does Glad, and so does Phil. No one says that gays can't put their dingus wherever they want to. Talk about it, flaunt it, have gay pride parades all you want, but the rest of us have the same rights. As homosexuals, you should take it up with God, not Phil. If you don't believe in God, that is your right. If Phil does, that is his right. Someday we will all know who is right. In the meantime, get over yourselves.
That's the thing, is that Phil Robertson gets to say whatever he wants.
And right. And then we get to say that Phil Robertson is a bigot.
Right.
And that's it. That's all we're doing. We're just saying that Phil Robertson is a bigot. We're not saying that Phil Robertson does not have a right to free speech. We're saying people who want to do business with Phil Robertson will no longer get my money.
And he didn't get hired to be someone who speaks out on social issues. He got hired to have a stupid beard and whittle. And once he starts making this about alienating people who are potentially going to watch the show, then it's entirely possible that his value to the company may change. How come conservatives are always talking about the right of private companies to, say, deny health care to women they think are too slutty?
Right.
But A&E is not allowed to say, hey, quiet the fuck down, or maybe you don't work for us anymore.
Yeah, I'm wondering that, too. You know, I spoke to someone off the record after this this article broke, and his argument, he was pro Phil Robertson, which is fine, but he said, look, all we're trying to do is promote tolerance. Everybody's view should be tolerated, and that includes Phil's. And what I couldn't get through to this person is that, okay, so you want to put equal weight, you think that the both of the following statements deserve equal weight on the scale. Gays should have the same rights as everyone else. Versus gays should be in the same field as criminals and people who practice bestiality. And somehow I'm supposed to give moral equivalency to those two statements. He didn't understand why I couldn't do that.
One of the things that's really hard when you talk about this is people always want to characterize it as, oh, the gays live. Why can't they just lead their lives on the coasts, having their little time? And
why can't you respect my views of hating you?
Right. Why can't I tolerate your right to not tolerate me?
Right.
Well, first of all, like, if you're not going to tolerate me, I'm not going to tolerate you.
Right.
That's dickish. And also there's the fact that, like, there are, like, if a kid is black, you know that he's black. If a little girl is a little girl, you know that she's a little girl. You don't know who's gay or not until they get old enough to figure it out for themselves. And so there are kids in Alabama and Arkansas who have parents who are watching this stuff, like, who are being taught to hate themselves. And it's not fun because I'm going to have to date them one day. I'm in the entertainment industry. I am gonna, you know, it's entirely likely that my future husband, still in junior high.
Assuming you can marry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Assuming I can marry. If I'm in
Why don't you just tolerate my opinion that you shouldn't be able to marry?
But
Why are you so intolerant of my intolerance?
Once these kids grow up, I need them to be free of, you know, psychological impediments from all of this, you know, shaming and...
So the hate is just fucking up your love.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry.
Look, I'm going to make it through, all right? there have been gays for all of time. We've managed to find a way to, you know, not just survive, but also infuse things with passion fruit. And I think we'll keep going.
And now for our, well, final segment, yes. Downton Abbey is back on TV. If you haven't seen the first three episodes of the new season, do not listen to the following segment. Now here comes my dad to talk about it. Answer Dad. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Leslie?
I'm okay. How are you doing after watching last night's episode of Downton Abbey?
I'm doing just fine. It was quite a shocker last night for me. I didn't expect that Anna was going to get raped at the end of the show. So I would like to kill that guy. And I probably would if he was in front of me. I think Bates would definitely do something. But I don't see Anna being able to hide this thing in the state she was in. He knows something is already going on. She's backed away from him. And so you can tell right away that something's he's not right. And he knows she's not right. And how do I think he would kill him? Well, certainly he wouldn't poison him, would he? I think traditional manner, I think if he could get a gun, he'd shoot the guy, probably strangle him with his bare hands if he had him in front of him. Well, I would do the same thing. If anything happened to your mom in that situation, I would go after the guy immediately. If I found out, I don't think anything could hold me back. Well, I've got my my little pistol in the house here. I'd probably grab that and shoot the guy a couple times with it. It's a Walther PPKS, same little gun James Bond used.
Talk to me about what you think of Edith right now.
Oh, I think Edith is coming into her own. We see what happened last night when her boyfriend picked out the card sharp and got all the money back. Grantham immediately took to the guy. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to have a little smooth sailing there. I don't know what's going to happen when he announces he's going to become German and they're going to have to go to Germany. I don't think that's going to work for the family.
What do you think is going to happen if he becomes German? You think he'll go full Nazi?
No, I do not. I don't think he's that type at all. I think he just loves Edith to the point where he would do anything for her.
Right.
That's all.
Now, thank you so much for listening to my show. I did promise to talk to you about why we're not watching the Golden Globes. This is why I'm not watching the Golden Globes and why maybe you shouldn't be watching the Golden Globes next year. For those of you who don't know how the Golden Globes work, it's not like the Oscars, it's not like the Grammys, it's not like the SAG Awards, it's not like the Emmys. The people who vote for the Golden Globes are a very, very small private group of people who call themselves the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. We're talking what, Guy, 30 people?
I think it's between 30 and 60.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And essentially, that very small group of people gets together and says, who should win these awards? Now, they're not in the business. They're journalists. That's fine. I'm a journalist.
Many of them have very dubious journalistic credentials as well.
Exactly. And they are deciding who gets the Golden Globe. So in other words, 30 to 60 Swedish and German people who are not really in the business, but who may or may not write about movies, are deciding who gets the Golden Globes. The whole reason why it's a huge telecast is because they've been at this for a long time. They offer an open bar and a telecast. So all the stars come and hope they get an award. But it doesn't carry the same weight as an Oscar or an Emmy or any of the others. Yes, is it important to know what, I don't know, who so-and-so is wearing? No, that's not important either. So when you add it all up, I don't watch them. What am I missing, Guy?
It's fun. It's a nice party. I like watching it. I do think it's unfortunate that it ends up establishing who the front runners for the Oscars are going to be.
That's the point. It shouldn't.
I also have a real problem with the like very reduced Oscar season that we've had for the past like 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
I very firmly believe that the Oscars should come sometime around Passover. End of February. It's just too early. Here's the thing. Back in the 90s, the Golden Globes were just a whore. They would just give out the award to whoever sent them the best gifts. And then one year, Sharon Stone attempted to send Cartier watches to all of the members and just buy herself a Best Actress Musical or Comedy Golden Globe for the Muse. And they were like, this has to change. I liked it back in the day when a studio could just buy awards for people.
Mm-hmm.
The horriness of it really represents everything that Los Angeles could be.
Now there's no sluttiness. There's no nothing.
There's drunk Emma Thompson, which I was sad I missed out on.
I hear it was brilliant.
Oh, also, here's the thing. I'm going to disagree with you. I'm only not watching them because I didn't have a television and you offered to cook dinner for me.
Oh.
But greatest award show acceptance speech of the modern era.
What?
Is Emma Thompson accepting for the screenplay for Sense and Sensibility. She wrote a letter from Jane Austen describing the events of the Golden Globes. And it was delightful. And that's the thing I like, is that when you're at the Oscars, everybody has to just thank their agents and managers and thank everyone they're supposed to. I like that the Golden Globes are messy and people can be funny and just screw around.
Well, I'm sorry I took you away from all that.
Leslie, getting to be here with you, that's my Golden Globe. John is my Hollywood Foreign Press Association that grants you to me. And I am drunk on those Ali Larter truffles that you made.
Good Lord, it's almost like you're a TV writer or something. This has been another edition of my show. My name is Leslie Gorenstein. If you want to know more about me, if you've missed one of my episodes, you can go to www.thefamefatale.com. If you've got your own question about how Hollywood works, tweet me at FameFatalesays. Write to me at Leslie@thefamefatale.com or find me on Facebook. Guy, where can they find you these days?
They can find me on Twitter at Guy Branum or my website, GuyBranum.com. And I do a lot of podcast appearances.
Do you like Guy? Do you think he should be on more often? Of course you do. Write to me and let me know. We'll see you next week.